Hey there. Ever feel like you're kind of on autopilot? Grabbing that same snack every afternoon or scrolling endlessly on your phone before bed?
Yeah,
It's like we're running on habits, right?
totally.
You sent over this awesome guide on building new habits. I'm really excited to break it down with you today.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, who wouldn't want to harness that autopilot for good?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually fascinating how much research has gone into
Oh, yeah.
this seemingly simple part of our lives. There's a real science to how habits work,
Okay.
and it goes way beyond just like willpower.
So let's dive into that science then.
Here.
The guide mentions this thing called the habit loop, which sounds almost like a catchy song.
It kind of is.
I
It's like
do.
a three-part melody stuck in your brain. Charles Duhigg, who wrote The Power of Habit,
Right.
he breaks it down like this. Cue, routine, reward.
So the cue is what gets the song started.
Exactly. It's the trigger that sets the whole thing in motion. It could be anything. A certain time of day, walking into a specific room, even an emotion. Let's say you feel stressed. That could be your cue to like reach for a sugary snack.
And then the routine is, well, you eating the snack.
Right. The routine is the actual behavior itself.
Yeah.
And then comes the reward, right? That feeling of relief from the stress, or maybe just the taste of the sugar.
Okay. So the reward is like the grand finale of the song, the part
Yes,
that makes you want to hear it again.
precisely. And the more you repeat that loop, the stronger that association becomes.
Right.
Your brain actually shifts the workload away from conscious decision making,
Wow.
making the habit almost effortless.
Wait, so our brains actually change as we form habits. The guide mentioned something about the basal ganglia.
That's right. The basal ganglia is a part of your brain that loves routines.
Okay.
As you repeat a habit, the activity in that area actually decreases,
Yeah.
meaning your brain is using less energy to perform that behavior. It's becoming more efficient.
That's so wild. It's like our brains are saying, hey, we've got this one down. Let's put it on autopilot.
Exactly. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Dopamine, the feel-good chemical, is released when we anticipate the reward.
Okay.
So the more ingrained a habit becomes, the more we crave that dopamine hit.
So even before we eat the snack, our brain is already giving us a little reward just for thinking about it.
Yeah,
That's sneaky.
it is, which is why breaking bad habits can be so tough. But the good news is that this same process works for building good habits too.
Okay, so knowing how habits work is step one. But what about actually building new ones? The guide talks a lot about setting goals.
Right. And it emphasizes that simply wanting a new habit isn't enough. It's like setting out on a journey without a map.
Okay, I'm liking the map analogy. What kind of map do we need?
The guide calls it value-based goal setting.
Okay.
It's about understanding why you want this habit. How does it connect to your values, your overall vision for your life?
So it's not just I want to exercise more.
Right,
It's
yeah.
I want to exercise more so I have the energy to play with my kids.
Exactly. Linking the habit to a deeper purpose makes you far more likely to stick with it when things get tough.
That makes so much sense.
Okay.
So we've got our why figured out. But sometimes, even with a strong why, the goal itself just feels overwhelming. Like,
Right.
where do you even begin?
The guide has some great advice on that. It talks about the importance of setting SMART goals.
SMART goals. Fill me in.
SMART stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Okay.
It's a way of breaking down a big, vague goal into smaller, actionable steps.
Okay, so instead of, I want to be more productive. SMART goal might be I'll spend the first hour of each workday focused on my top priority task.
Exactly. It's specific. You can measure whether or not you did it. It's
Right.
achievable. It's relevant to your larger goal of productivity, and it has a time frame each workday.
That's a great example. I could already see how this would make things feel less overwhelming.
It does. And here's another tip from the guide. Micro goals.
Okay.
Even a SMART goal can feel daunting if it's too big of a change all at once.
So instead of aiming to meditate for 20 minutes every day right away, maybe start with five.
Exactly. Make it so easy you can't say no. Those small wins build momentum and confidence,
Yeah.
making it more likely you'll stick with it.
This is already blowing my mind. It's like I knew setting goals was important, but I never realized how much strategy goes into it.
There's a real art to it,
Yeah.
and the guide goes even deeper, offering specific techniques for putting these goals into action.
All right, I'm ready for more.
One technique I love is called implementation intentions. It's basically if-then planning. You decide in advance exactly what you'll do in a specific situation.
So, like, if I wake up at 7 a.m., then I'll immediately put on my workout clothes.
Perfect. You're pre-programming your response to a cue, making the desired behavior almost automatic.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like outsmarting your own brain's tendency to procrastinate.
That's a great way to put it.
Uh-huh.
And here's another one you might find helpful. Habit stacking.
Habit stacking? What's that?
It's attaching your new habit to an existing routine. Like, after I make my morning coffee, I'll spend 5 minutes writing in my journal.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
My brain loves patterns, so this feels like it would work really well for me.
It's a great way to leverage those existing neural pathways.
Yeah.
And the guide has even more practical tips like this.
This is all making so much sense.
Yeah.
But let's be real. Building new habits isn't always a walk in the park, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about those inevitable obstacles that pop up?
Oh, you're absolutely right. There will be roadblocks.
Yeah.
Life loves to throw curveballs when you're trying to, you know, change something.
Tell me about it. I've started and stopped more habits than I can count. It's like one day you're feeling super motivated and the next day it's like, nope, not today.
It's so common. But the good news is those obstacles don't have to be deal breakers. This guide we're discussing offers some really effective ways to anticipate and overcome them.
Lay it on me. What's the first line of defense?
Self-awareness. The guide talks about identifying your personal triggers for failure.
Okay.
You know, those situations or feelings that make it harder to stick to your new habit.
So it's like knowing your weaknesses, those things that trip you up.
Exactly. For some people, it might be stress.
Right.
For some people, it might be stress.
Right.
That sends them straight to the comfort food aisle. For others, it might be a busy schedule that makes it feel impossible to find time for that 30-minute workout.
Right, right. It's like knowing your kryptonite so you can avoid it. But what if you can't avoid it?
Right.
Like stress is a part of life.
Right. That's where the guide's advice on building resilience comes in.
Okay.
It's about accepting that slip-ups will happen. You'll miss a workout. You'll eat the cookie. But it's not about being perfect. It's about getting back on track quickly.
So it's less about beating yourself up.
Right.
More about saying, okay, that happened. Now what?
Exactly. The guide actually talks about practicing self-compassion.
Oh, okay.
Treating yourself with the same kindness you would offer a friend who's struggling.
Oh, that's so important. I think we often have much higher expectations for ourselves than we do for anyone else.
Absolutely. And another key to resilience is flexibility. Life is unpredictable, and sometimes you need to adjust your plan.
So if I normally go for a run in the morning, but I wake up feeling exhausted, maybe I could do a shorter walk later in the day.
Exactly. The guide encourages us to view those adjustments not as failures, but as opportunities to adapt and find what works best for us.
That's such a good point. It takes the pressure off feeling like you have to follow the plan perfectly no matter what.
It does. And speaking of tracking your progress, that's another important piece of the puzzle the guide addresses.
I can see how that would be helpful. It's like keeping a scorecard to see how you're doing.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be complicated. The guide suggests simple tools like a journal, a calendar, or even a habit tracking app if you're, you know, more digitally inclined.
Oh, I love using apps. It's so satisfying to see those little check marks add up.
It is. And it gives you that visual reminder of your progress, which can be really motivating. But the guide also stresses the importance of focusing on the process, not just the outcome.
So not just did I lose 5 pounds this week, but also did I consistently make healthier choices?
Exactly. It's about celebrating those small wins along the way.
Yeah.
Those moments where you chose the new habit, even when it was hard.
That makes a lot of sense. Like the more you celebrate those small wins, the more motivated you feel to keep going.
Right. And the guide also talks about the importance of setting up your environment for success.
Ooh, I like this idea. So it's not just about our internal willpower, but also about making those external changes that support our new habits.
Exactly. It's about creating a space that makes it easier to engage in the behaviors you want and harder to fall back into those old ones.
So if I'm trying to eat healthier, I might keep a bowl of fruit on the counter instead of a candy dish.
That's a great example. Or if you're trying to read more, you could keep a book on your nightstand instead of your phone. It's about reducing those temptations and making the healthy choice the more convenient option.
I love these practical tips. It's like you're setting yourself up for success before you even start.
Exactly. And the guide also emphasizes the importance of minimizing distractions. If your goal is to focus on work for the first hour of the day, maybe turn off your phone notifications.
Right.
Put your email on hold.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. But I know it makes a huge difference It's so easy to get sucked into those digital distractions.
It is, but by proactively creating a distraction-free environment, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of sticking to your new habit.
This is making me rethink my entire workspace. Okay, so we've talked about setting up our environment, but what about social support? I feel like having people in my corner makes a big difference.
Absolutely. The guide actually has a whole section on this.
Oh, wow.
It talks about the power of sharing your goals with friends, family, or even online communities.
I love that. It's like having a built-in cheering section. Plus, it's harder to let people down than it is to let yourself down, right?
That's so true. Accountability can be a powerful motivator. And just knowing that other people are rooting for you can give you that extra boost when you need it.
I've definitely experienced that. Sharing my goals with a friend who's also trying to build healthy habits has made such a difference. We motivate and support each other.
That's wonderful. And even if you don't have someone in your immediate circle who shares your goals, there are so many online groups and communities where you can connect with like-minded people.
That's true. There's a community for everything these days. Okay, so we've got support systems in place. Our environment is optimized. We've got our SMART goals and micro goals all mapped out. What's next?
Well, the guide delves into the psychology of motivation, which is really fascinating.
Okay.
It distinguishes between two types of motivation, intrinsic and extrinsic.
Oh, I've heard of those. Intrinsic motivation is about doing something because you enjoy it, right?
Exactly. It's about finding that internal drive, that sense of purpose or satisfaction that comes from the activity itself. Like if you love the feeling of getting stronger, that's intrinsic motivation for working out.
And extrinsic motivation is more about external rewards.
Right. It's about doing something because you're aiming for a specific outcome or reward. Like if you're exercising to lose weight for an event, that's more extrinsic motivation.
I feel like both types of motivation can be helpful, but is one better than the other?
That's a great question. The guide actually addresses that. While both have their place, research shows that intrinsic motivation tends to be more powerful and sustainable over time.
That makes sense. If you genuinely enjoy the activity, you're more likely to stick with it, even when it gets challenging.
Exactly. And the guide offers some great tips for tapping into your intrinsic motivation, even for activities that might not be inherently enjoyable at first.
Ooh, I'm curious. How do you do that?
One way is to focus on the positive feelings you experience, you know, during or after the activity. Like maybe you don't love the act of running itself, but you love the feeling of accomplishment you get when you finish a run.
Or maybe you don't love doing the dishes, but you love the feeling of a clean kitchen.
Exactly. It's about shifting your focus to those positive aspects of the experience. And another way to boost intrinsic motivation is to set goals that are aligned with your values.
So if I value health and well-being, I might be more intrinsically motivated to exercise if I frame it as an act of self-care rather than a chore.
Precisely. It's about connecting the habit to something that truly matters to you, something that gives it meaning and purpose beyond just checking a box.
This is all so insightful. I'm starting to see how all of these pieces fit together. It's like we're building a multi-layered strategy for success, right?
We are. And the guide actually has one more powerful concept that I think will resonate with you, the growth mindset.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that. It's about believing that your abilities can be developed, that you're not stuck with a fixed set of skills or talents, right?
Exactly. And the guide delves into the work of psychologist Carol Dweck, who really pioneered this concept. A growth mindset, as she describes it, views challenges as opportunities for learning rather than signs of failure.
So instead of getting discouraged when I hit a roadblock, I should see it as a chance to grow and improve.
Exactly. The guide encourages us to embrace that I can learn anything attitude. And it offers practical tips for cultivating a growth mindset, even when it feels challenging.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are some of those tips?
Yeah, it's amazing how much our mindset influences our ability to change, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether we see a challenge as a setback or a stepping stone can make all the difference.
Totally. It's like that saying, everything is hard before it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
If we can approach those tough moments with curiosity instead of fear.
Right.
It changes the whole game.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of things that are hard, we've talked a lot about the theory of habit formation.
Right.
Can we look at some, you know, like real life examples?
Absolutely. The guide is packed with case studies that show how these principles actually work in practice. One that stands out to me is the workplace fitness program.
Right.
They used habit stacking to get employees moving more.
Oh, right. They paired quick exercises with things people were already doing, like grabbing coffee or refilling their water bottle.
Exactly. They made it super convenient.
Yeah.
And it worked. employees got more exercise without having to, you know, overhaul their schedules.
That's so smart. Yeah. What other examples did you find interesting?
There was a case study about students using micro goals to prepare for exams.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to cram everything in at the last minute, they started with short study sessions.
Right.
And gradually increase the time.
That's a much more sustainable approach.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with a ton of material. It's like breaking down a marathon into manageable chunks.
Exactly. And they saw real improvements in their focus and retention.
Okay.
Another case study that resonated with me was about incorporating mindfulness into daily life.
I remember that one. They used habit stacking again, right?
Right. They paired a short meditation with an existing habit, like having morning coffee
mm-hmm.
or brushing their teeth before bed. It made it easy to, you know, make mindfulness a part of their routine.
I love how these real life examples show that these concepts aren't just some abstract theory, they actually work.
Right.
It's super motivating to see how people have used them to make positive changes.
It is, and while there are always going to be challenges when building new habits,
mm-hmm.
this guide offers some great advice on avoiding common pitfalls.
Oh, right. Like that thing about not relying solely on motivation. It's so true. Motivation can be fickle.
It can. That's why having those systems in place, like SMART goals, habit stacking,
right.
and setting up your environment is crucial.
Yeah.
They provide that support structure when motivation dips.
And we talked about avoiding that all or nothing thinking, too.
Yes.
It's so easy to feel like you failed if you slip up once.
I know.
And then just give up completely.
I've been there so many times. But the guide emphasizes the importance of progress over perfection. It's about acknowledging those slip-ups,
right.
learning from them,
yeah.
and getting right back on track.
It's like giving yourself permission to be human.
Yeah.
We all have those moments, and it's not about never messing up. It's about how we respond to those moments.
Exactly. And the guide also talks about the importance of rest and self-care.
Oh, right.
It's easy to burn out when you're trying to, you know, make big changes. So it's crucial to prioritize those activities that recharge you.
So true. It's like, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Uh-huh.
Taking care of yourself is essential for sustaining any kind of change.
Yeah.
Especially long term.
Absolutely. And, you know, throughout this whole deep dive,
yeah.
we've really uncovered so many valuable insights about how to build better habits. But, you know, beyond the specific techniques,
yeah.
I think there's a bigger takeaway here.
What's that?
It's the idea that we have more control over our lives than we often realize. We're not just creatures of habit. We can consciously choose the habits we want to cultivate and create the life we want to live.
That's so powerful. It's easy to feel stuck in our routines, but this conversation has really highlighted how much agency we have.
We do.
Yeah.
And even small changes, repeated consistently, can have a ripple effect on every aspect of our lives.
It's like that quote, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit.
Exactly. And this deep dive has given us the tools to make excellence or whatever we're striving for a little more attainable, one habit at a time.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, I'm curious, what's one habit you're currently working on building or one you'd recommend to our listener?
Well, I'm trying to be more mindful about my technology use, especially in the evenings. Putting my phone away an hour before bed has made a huge difference in my sleep quality.
Oh, that's a good one. What about you?
What about you?
I'm all about that morning routine.
Oh, nice.
I've been working on getting up a little earlier each day.
Yeah.
To fit in some exercise and journaling. It sets a really positive tone for the whole day.
That's fantastic. And for our listener, I'd echo that thought-provoking question we posed earlier. If you could choose one small positive habit to start building today, what would it be? Take a moment to reflect on that and see what comes up.
That's a great place to leave things.
Yeah.
It's been such a pleasure exploring the world of habits with you today. Thanks for sharing your expertise.
It was my pleasure. And to our listener, remember, you have the power to create positive change in your life, one small habit at a time.
That's a wrap on our deep dive into building better habits. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and are feeling inspired to make some positive changes in your own life. Until next time.